Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. This is Erica, creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha, which, as you know, is a podcast, but it's also a blog. I'm so elated to have you all back in listening because today's interview is definitely a treat. I have been looking forward to this interview release for a while because I was able to interview Kate, who is the co-founder of The Good Fest, which, as you probably know right now, is a one-day festival for women in wellness. And her first festival was actually last summer, and then she did another one in LA over the winter, and now there's another one happening August 11th in Philadelphia. And I'm really hoping I'm going to be able to go. I'm probably going to be about 8 months pregnant at that point, but I am anticipating going anyway and just doing what I can do and opting out for things that I can't do. So, for example, they have a marketplace full of good, healthy food. Obviously, I'll be able to indulge in that. And they have yoga sessions and meditations and speakers from all across the country. One of the speakers that I'm really looking forward to hearing is Ruby Wellington. She wrote Material Girl, Mystical World. And that's like one of my favorite books ever. So I'm truly looking forward to the Good Fest this year. A little bit more about Kate. She has such a diverse background. It's so interesting. So she's a wellness blogger. She's a registered yoga instructor. And she's an entrepreneur based in Philadelphia. She promotes health through mindful living, intuitive movement, food freedom, and a body positive message. After recovering from an eating disorder, Kate chose to share her story with her followers and is super passionate about building a community centered in authenticity and radical self-love. Some other fun facts about Kate is that she's also a dog mom. She's a lover of matcha lattes and obsesses over all things woo-woo, from crystals to astrology and tarot cards. And basically, we cover all of those subjects in our interview. So I think you guys are really in for a treat today. I loved chatting with her. I literally could have kept chatting with her for hours. And if you feel inclined, head over to iTunes after this interview and leave the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast a rating. It really helps my podcast gain exposure. And all you have to do is snap a screenshot, send it to me, and I'll actually send you just a small token of my appreciation. So again, that's on iTunes. And then I just want to talk about today's episode sponsor real quick before we jump into the interview. Our interview sponsor today is Blooming Lotus Jewelry. It's an intentional brand of handmade jewels created to support your soul grow, prosper, and blossom. Each piece of jewelry is lovingly handcrafted and filled with purpose and meaning. Blooming Lotus Jewelry was founded in 2010 by Jennifer Serralo. And what I really love about Jen is that she's just so generous. Like, you've probably seen in my feed how she's donated to Blogiversary. And as you can tell, she's sponsoring my podcast and really believing in my purpose. And she does this all across the board. So 5% of the sales from Blooming Lotus Jewelry are donated to Support the Kid for Cancer Foundation. In addition to Support the Kid, Blooming Lotus also supports the Autism Society of America and the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. And then during October, a portion of the breast cancer awareness bracelet sales go towards the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. So as you can see, Jennifer really gives back to the community, which I absolutely love, supporting businesses like that. Blooming Lotus Jewelry has an extensive line of jewelry, including mollusk necklaces, mantra bars, mantra coin necklaces, gemstone bracelets, intention cuffs, and crystal necklaces, just to name a few. I personally have the mantra coin necklace, and I'm obsessed. I wear it while I meditate and while I practice yoga, and really you can just wear it at any point in the day. The quality is impeccable, and I really couldn't be happier with mine. I also want to point out another feature of Blooming Lotus Jewelry, and that since each piece of jewelry is made with intention, you can literally search for the jewelry by its purpose on her website. So, for example, she has pieces such as her carnelian stone bracelets that were made with the intention of bringing about abundance and manifesting success. You know, other pieces of jewelry hold intentions for love or creativity or balance or serenity and the like. So that's a really cool feature about Jennifer's creations. If you want to purchase your own Blooming Lotus jewelry, head over to www.bloominglotusjewelry.com. And as always, thank you for supporting the BYOK podcast sponsors. I apologize for the scratchy voice. I must have had too much fun this Memorial Day weekend. But without further ado, let's jump right into Kate's interview. Hi, Kate, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hey, Erica. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Of course. Would you mind just giving us a brief introduction about yourself?
Of course. Yeah, my name is Kate, obviously, and I am a yoga instructor, a blogger, and an entrepreneur. So I am a recently certified yoga teacher, but have been passionate about yoga and wellness in general, a healthy lifestyle for quite some time now, for a few years. When I was in college, I went through treatment for an eating disorder and then found that living a more balanced lifestyle and incorporating yoga and mindfulness brought me a lot of relief and just a lot of peace of mind and just more love for my body and myself. So then I started blogging about it, and I had a full-time job, and I was, you know, just looking for a creative outlet. So that's how my first kind of business started, which was my blog, Kailin It. And that has since morphed into new projects and ways to give back to the wellness community, including the Good Festival, which I co-founded with two of my business partners and really good friends, Jess and Jen. That's, we'll get into, I'm sure, kind of the details of that, but it's a wellness festival for women, and it's a really fun, awesome event that's meant to inspire community and connection. And then in addition to that, we also started a company called Beyond, which is just a kind of a parent brand that also hosts more local workshops. We recently did an astrology one and things like that. So it's kind of a lot of different things that I do and what I'm about, but all of them are rooted in the belief that wellness is for everyone and it should be something that's supportive and fun and just an amazing lifestyle.
Wow, you're really like a jack of all trades here. You do everything. So let's start off with yoga. What drew you to yoga, and more specifically, what drew you to, you know, going for your certification, since you said that you went for it recently?
Yeah, so I grew up and I was always a dancer, so I used to dance ballet and jazz, even hip hop, all of it. So when I did that, I was never really into sports. So I remember, you know, in middle school and high school even, my dance teachers incorporating yoga in some things or asking us to try out yoga. So I was familiar with it. Like, I had dabbled in it. My mom also always did yoga. So I was, you know, pretty aware of it, and just, it wasn't really my thing until later. After college, I was really needing a form of exercise or movement that felt really mindful and felt really loving, because I had for many years been restricting not only my food but also over exercising. I had developed a pretty unhealthy relationship with the gym. So once I had, you know, distanced myself from that form of exercise and the ways that I used to move my body, I knew I needed to find a new way. So I discovered yoga. I started it, you know, I didn't have a ton of money for all the fancy studios and all the stuff. So I just started actually taking YouTube videos and trying it in my bedroom at night and like having like this home practice, that kind of developed into like an obsession with it. So I started to then, go to my local studio and become more involved. And I think too, when you're first starting yoga, it can feel a little intimidating when you don't know you know, every posture's name yet and stuff like that. So I was happy that I kind of built a foundation for myself through a home practice and then started going to the studio and making it a bigger part of my life. So that's kind of how it all began. And then from there, I started to continue to keep it in my life. But when the Good Festival started and I was really focusing more on building a business, it kind of became secondary. It was something I would do when I had time, and I would roll out my mat at home and be sure to like flow a little bit. But a little bit later, after the Good Festival had its second year, I felt like really ready to go for it and go for the certification. I've always been terrified of like public speaking or getting in front of a room and leading in that sense. I'm really comfortable like behind my blog and Instagram. And even in like the Good Festival setting, it's that comes much more naturally. But for some reason, like the intimacy of a yoga class was really intimidating. So I decided to just go for it and recently completed it about 5 months ago, and have just really loved deepening my practice. And now I'm preparing to like, you know, put together some workshops that are really near and dear to my heart, and just ways to give back to other women who might be looking for the same relief I was and looking for yoga in that way.
I love that. And I love your emphasis on the at-home yoga practice.
Yes.
I actually, I'm 4.5 months pregnant, and
oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And I've been really struggling finding a studio that does prenatal yoga, you know, more than once a week. That's not at 10 a.m. in the morning when I have work. So I've been really just doing yoga at home. And there's a lot to be said for that. Like you said, you don't feel as self-conscious, you're able to really familiarize yourself with the postures and build yourself, build your confidence up, you know, to go to those classes and be able to interact with other yogis and try out different yoga classes. So
yeah.
I love that you really support that.
I do. And I think it's important to not, obviously, you know, the first time walking to a studio, especially if it's a bigger class, that's a lot of bodies to compare yourself to, not just physically, but like physically where you are in your practice. And it's just hard, I think, to like kind of get really, really present and really to take note of what your body's feeling. Like I'll do something at home, like a twist or an arm balance that like just doesn't feel good. And I don't think twice, I'll just stop. Whereas if I'm in class, I know I would have kept pushing for it. So yeah, I think it's a good practice to start. It takes obviously discipline, but that's awesome though. And that must be a little frustrating when you can't find as many classes, but I remember doing that lecture and thinking, of course I've never been pregnant, but I was just fascinated by all of the modifications and all the different things to be mindful of when someone pregnant comes into your class. And it's a huge responsibility to teach to that as well. Especially when juggling other students who aren't.
Absolutely. I totally agree. It's definitely, you know, a lot of listening to your body and, like you said, not pushing yourself like you would when you're in a class full of your peers. It's
exactly.
Really just listening to your body. And the other thing that kind of resonated with me was that, you know, when you're in a yoga class, the purpose isn't to, you know, perfect this posture. It's to make your body feel good. So like you were saying, it really is just listening to your body. If something is bothering you, you stop and things like that.
Exactly. I really like to talk about intuitive movement with my readers and followers and even just my friends and family, because I think we've gotten so out of touch with that and what that even feels like to be really within your body enough to feel when to push forward, when to stop, what's good, what's bad. For you and really listen to that like completely.
100%. So with that being said, do you incorporate any meditation into your yoga practice, or is that something that you do on its own, I guess?
Yeah. So I typically on its own, I've noticed, so I'm more of a evening yoga person. A lot of people, and I hope someday I wake up and I'm like a morning person, but it hasn't happened yet. So I know that yoga is fantastic to do right when you wake up and to get, you know, moving. But my first thing I do is I do meditate. I've been Most days, I don't want to say I'm perfect and make it every single day, but almost every day I sit down and do at least a few minutes of meditation, if not a little longer. But then I'll have my physical practice more in the evening to wind down. So yeah, I think as far as meditation, everything that I do is, again, pretty intuitive. Like some days it's as simple as walking my dog and making it a moving meditation and like putting my phone in my pocket and just like trying to notice every single thing that's going on, listen to the sounds I hear, feel the wind on your face, you know, those things that you actually don't notice because you're so consumed by either your distractions of like what I have to do today or your phone or whatever else. Or most days I'll sit down before that and actually, you know, do a more like traditional meditation. I'll journal a lot afterwards. I find that to be really helpful. And yeah, that's kind of just how I start the day, at least. I've always been someone who runs a little bit more on the anxious side, a little more type A. So to do that and to start my day with that is extremely helpful.
Now, based on your Instagram, I might know the answer already, but do you incorporate like crystals and tarot cards and things that like that when you meditate?
I do. Yes. Thank you for asking. So I will hold crystals every single time I meditate. And I used to like think to myself, this is weird. You're getting too into these crystals, but now I just own it. And I'm like, I love them. I find so much joy, not only in choosing my crystal for the day, but putting an intention into it. And, so what I'll do is I'll typically choose two and hold one in each hand. I'll switch it up depending on how I'm feeling or what I'm needing. If I have a feeling that, you know, I'm going to have a lot of like calls and meetings and things like that, I might choose something correlated with the throat chakra, you know, to get my communication on point. If I need something to do that's creative that day, I know I'll be writing or something like that. I'll choose something like amethyst to kind of tune into intuition. And I have a lot of fun with crystals. I do choose tarot cards. I try not to read my cards for myself as often as I used to. When I first got the deck, I was like exhausting myself, like tarot overload. But it was really fun in the beginning to learn everything and to learn the different ways to read it and what each means. But now I'm probably like once or twice a week, I'll pull a card and then I'll usually journal about what came up. So I try to be careful not to too often, because that's like a really powerful tool. And I feel like too, tarot is one of my favorite things is to read my friends and families and peers. But it's important to have someone read for you, because it's so easy to see the cards and try to morph them into what you want to see rather than maybe what's necessarily coming up.
Totally. Do you have a favorite tarot deck? And I guess, do you also have a favorite crystal?
Yes. Ooh, favorite crystal's tough. But so favorite tarot deck is the Wild Unknown. That's my favorite right now. It's the one that I started with. I have looked at other decks and have read about them. And for some reason, I just can't get enough of the Wild Unknown. I think the imagery is beautiful. Some people see the imagery and they think they're really turned off by it. There's a lot of black, that's one of my favorite colors. So I'm okay with it. But for crystals, I am obsessed with selenite. It's kind of just like the catch-all, like all, pure light, positive energy. It also charges all the crystals around it. So I kind of hold that in meditation. And then for the other crystal in my other hand, I'd say one of my favorites right now is malachite. It's related to the heart chakra. And when I first got it, I wasn't really that drawn to it. And I don't know, now I find it really beautiful. So I used to be all about like amethyst and citrine and rose quartz, but now I'm trying to push myself to try new ones as well.
You know, I hear that a lot from people that, you know, they start off with a certain crystal that they absolutely love. And then as their life, I guess, changes and progresses and they, you know, are attracted to another type of crystal, which totally makes sense. But yeah. It's just so fascinating to me. I love all of that stuff.
Yeah, I think you kind of, not to say you grow out of a crystal, but once you've used it and it's, you know, done its magic and it's brought what you need, you can move on to other areas. And you start to find, once you find, like, for example, if someone's starting with rose quartz, which is very much, you know, a stone of love, if you notice its effects, be it through self-love or love for your community or a significant other, you're going to be more encouraged to then dabble with other crystals and see their powers as well.
Absolutely. And I can't help but notice that, we've talked about yoga and meditation and the crystals, and I feel like the Good Fest, which you mentioned earlier you created, really encompasses all of that based on your guest, your previous guest at the Good Fest. So do you want to tell us how you came up with the idea of Good Fest before we dig deep into this year's event?
Yeah, so I met my two business partners, one on Instagram, the Health Coach Philly is her handle, and her name is Jess. And then we also work with my friend Jen Clark, who is someone I actually went to high school with, and we knew of each other, but then she worked in wellness in Philly at a local organic juice bar, and we just all kind of connected and felt like there was a need in our community. So we brainstormed different ideas. We all felt like we like to hang out with each other because we love these things. We love to grab green juice and go to yoga on Sunday morning rather than like a boozy brunch. And we just figured there had to be other women that wanted to do this as well. So we said, why not, you know, try to put together a festival. We first envisioned it as like a walking festival, something that would kind of be like, we take a group of women and they know to go to this studio at this time and then this restaurant, like kind of like a local just area of Philly. And it ends up being much, much, much more than that the first year. And we were just like blown away by the response of not only Philly, but where we hosted the first one, but also just nationally, people came from all over. We had speakers from all over featured at the event. So I think that was a really great pull and draw. And it was just a fantastic day. So essentially what the Good Fest is a one-day event that includes speaker sessions, panels, yoga classes, meditation, all different topics ranging from food to the crystals and the woo-woo, to astrology, to sexual health. And we also have, of course, like a swag bag. We have a cocktail hour to end the day, and we include a wellness marketplace that everyone's allowed to shop throughout the day, and it has just killer brands and things like that. So it is truly a wellness lover's kind of like paradise in one day. And people meet, you know, new friends. They meet friends that they knew from Instagram and social media that they can finally meet in person, and they connect with speakers that they've been following, you know, their work, their books, their podcasts for forever.
I really love how the Good Fest really encompasses like a variety of things. So you're not just, you know, going there to eat healthy food, or you're not just going there to hear people talk. You guys actually incorporate, you know, a yoga class and a little bit of the meditation, and you guys really have everything you can think of in the wellness world at the event.
Oh, thank you. We wanted to be careful to not call it a conference for that reason, because we do want it to feel really interactive, and the marketplace to feel like, you know, people will be trying like acupuncture in there and things like that. So we really like to keep it interactive. But that said, we have seen super fitness focused events that kind of feel like a boot camp kind of vibe. And then we've also seen, of course, food festivals and stuff. That's pretty common. And so we were like, how do we get like food there, fitness there, and content there? So that's what we put together.
Yeah, you definitely nailed it on that one. So you guys have had some pretty awesome guests at the Good Fest. Do you have any favorites or, you know, favorite sessions that you attended?
It's so hard. I say this genuinely. I am like, because of course, being the person who I am that's terrified of public speaking, every time I see them up there, I think they are like the most badass women, all of them, to get up and present that way. So I think everyone's awesome. Lately, I've been loving Kelsey Patel's work. She killed it at the LA Good Fest that we had in February, and she'll be back in Philly for the August event that we have coming up. Shan Boodram is one of the funniest people I've ever met. She's a sexologist. She keeps it so real, and she covers a topic that is totally not something that we typically talk about, and she makes women feel comfortable. So I think that's awesome, and really, really incredible. And then, yeah, I mean, we loved working with Jordan Younger. We've worked with her a lot. She's a fantastic yoga teacher. And I mean, the list goes on. I just am so impressed by the ladies that we've had at all of our events.
I love that. So this year's Good Fest is going to be back in Philly, and yes. It's going to be the third one, correct?
Yes.
I'm actually super excited because I was like a little bit hesitant to buy my ticket because I live about a half hour from Philly, but I'm going to be, 7.5 months pregnant at that point. Oh. But I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to go, I'll do a little bit of yoga. I'll, feed the baby with all the good food. It'll be a good time.
It will, for sure. You won't be Jess was pregnant at our first festival, so we...
I'll make it work,
I'll make it work. You're fine. It's gonna be so fun, though.
So can you tell us a little bit about this year's festival, the date, where it's at, how people can sign up, and maybe a couple more of the speakers or whatever information you want to give us?
Yeah, so we have set the date. It's August 11th. We have, who's coming? We have Kelsey Patel coming again. We have Shambhudram again. We have Ruby Warrington, the
Material Girl Mystical World. Yeah, I'm so excited.
So good. And she's also the founder of the Numinous, and she has Club Soda. She has so many cool things, parts of her business. I think she's one of the most badass women. So she'll be there. We have Katie Dalebout emceeing. So she is awesome. I love her podcast, Let It Out. She's going to be a great MC. We have Alexis Joseph of Homo Sapien, who's an RD and really going to be talking about food freedom and intuitive eating and what that means and how to navigate it in this crazy world where everyone's like paleo or vegan or Whole30 or something. we have some female founders, a couple from the Philadelphia area, one being Nicole Marquis, who's a restaurateur in Philly and has created pretty awesome plant-based restaurants. We have, who else? We have so many. We just finalized, she's not on the website yet, but Lisa of the Well Necessities on Instagram. I don't know if you are familiar.
Love her.
She's awesome. She's actually going to be talking about rejection in business and how sometimes it's a good thing and getting really vulnerable about her story and just like how to kind of make a wellness business that feels authentic and genuine, knowing that there will be bumps in the road. So I think that will be a really interesting conversation with her. It will be in East Falls in Philadelphia at Mulan at Sherman Mills is the name of our venue. Big, lofty, kind of open concept space. That's what we usually tend to go for. Something really naturally lit and bright and Instagrammable, for lack of a better word. And yeah, it's going to be awesome. We'll have Sweet Green again with lunch and a whole yoga studio specifically for each yoga class, 3 yoga classes. So every attendee gets to choose which one. So we'll be having more instructors and speakers announced throughout the summer. But yeah, tickets are on sale now and available and going quickly. We sold close to $275 the first day that we put tickets on sale. So Philly definitely showed up.
Wow. And how many tickets are you guys selling?
$375.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was insane. I was in London on vacation, actually, and Jess and Jen and I were all texting, throughout the day, updating our browsers, saying, oh, my God, we have, 20 more. It was crazy.
That's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did you guys pull, what are your tips for somebody who's starting out in the wellness industry and whether they want to, start their own festival or dig deep into the blogging world or go into becoming a yoga teacher? I feel like you would have some really good tips for entrepreneurs.
Yeah, definitely. I would say, first off, really try to find your niche and your special voice in the space because it is, there truly is room for everyone and everybody is welcome for sure. It's not a competition thing. It's just important to differentiate yourself and find what it is that you feel really passionate about. So something for me is body positivity. It's like a main core, kind of mission within everything I do. So whether it's something I talk about all the time or not, it's definitely a huge part of how this all began. So then in addition to that, I would say definitely start to network with other women who share those same kind of goals and concepts and those vibes that you feel like you really resonate with. And start to just to collaborate on things. I mean, I think for like the larger projects, like for instance, the festival, it was a lot to take on. It was, you know, risky. It was a little bit, it was definitely terrifying. So to do it with a partner and to team up with someone, be it for an event or a workshop or a retreat, is kind of fun. And it's a fun way to just meet new women and pass around ideas. And I think this space in particular, wellness, is really about community. So don't be afraid to put yourself out there and offer your help to someone or offer to work together and team up, because I think, you know, most of the time everyone's really receptive to it, and it usually is a strong way to get it done.
I totally agree, and I love that advice that it's more important to focus on community over competition, because that's really going to help you reach your end goal. Mm-hmm. What about authenticity? I feel like that's something that you're also very passionate about, and you know, being authentic also requires you to be vulnerable. And when you're a blogger and you're constantly, you know, showing everyone your life, and even being a yoga instructor, I feel like you let everybody into your, you know, your heart and soul while you're teaching during that class. That's definitely something that, you know, isn't easy at first. So how were you able to really, you know, shine that light on your authenticity?
Yeah, thank you, first off, for noticing that I try to get pretty vulnerable with my audience. Yeah, it's something that's very uncomfortable at first, but I tell people a lot. I get a lot of people who reach out and ask about, you know, how much is too much? You know, like, am I overdoing it if I share this? And the answer is, you know, it's completely what you're comfortable with. First off, you know, everyone has their story and they can tell it at the pace and the time that they want to. I have noticed that each time I got a little bit more vulnerable and honest, like the response was just so tremendous that it feels really validating. Like, okay, this is something as difficult as sometimes it is to talk about or admit, is helping someone else and is allowing someone else to relate to me, to understand they're not alone. And that's what this is really about. I mean, I have a long history of mental health and obviously the eating disorder, and really went through some shitty times. I hope I'm allowed to curse.
Of course.
So I just feel like it's nice to just connect and for women to feel like they aren't alone in that time, in that place.
Yeah, I would imagine that's definitely difficult to open up, but you make it look really easy and easy to relate to you.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just being honest and authentic. It's so obvious when someone is, and it's really obvious when someone isn't. And I think the thing is too, we have so much accessible to us through social media and Instagram and podcasts and everything else that it's like, we can kind of cut through the BS and tell as like, as consumers of the content, what's real and what's fake. So it's just important to just go for it and not second guess yourself. And your voice is your voice, so it can't be wrong, really. And your story is your story, so that can't be wrong either. I think obviously, especially with health and wellness and food and fitness too, it's important to obviously be knowledgeable and be careful about what kind of like information you're putting forth. But when it comes to your story, you can just go for it.
I love that you said that, and especially the little bit of that disclosure at the end. It is important to be careful of what you're putting out there, making sure the content that you're putting out is accurate or the facts. But like you said, if, you know, for example, if collagen's helping your hair, skin, and nails glow and grow, then that's your story. And yeah, that, you know, you have that right to tell it how you want to.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we kind of encompassed a lot of topics tonight, but do you have any book and podcast recommendations based on any of these topics, whether it be like on the crystals or being an entrepreneur or anything like that?
Yeah, I do actually. So I have a couple books of different topics, but one, if you're interested in learning more about crystals, Energy Muse is a great resource, not only online, they have like a blog in addition to their website where they sell the crystals, but they have really great resources there. And then they also have a book called Crystal Muse. And not only is it like visually stunning and beautiful, it gives you different rituals and different ways to use the crystals and incorporate them into your life. So I love that book. It's really great. Heather and Timmy are the founders of Energy Muse. They're friends, and they've just built this incredible woo-woo empire that's just like so fun and really, really authentic, speaking of authentic. And then as far as another yoga book that I feel like has become my yoga like Bible almost, is The Wheels of Life. And the author is escaping me in this moment, but it is like the mecca of chakras. And it's just the best book for that. It breaks it down. It gives you really awesome information on every single chakra. And I love incorporating the energy body into flows and sequences. I feel like that's fun. You know, anatomy has never been something, science, anatomy, all of that has never been what like I love. So going more the energy body route is how I prefer to teach. Of course, with like proper alignment, but I think it's just fun to kind of speak to the different chakras. So that's another book. And then I have one more. the last one is, I would say, Crushing It by Gary Vee. That's completely different spectrum and end of the genres. You won't find them in the same area of Barnes and Noble, but he is an entrepreneur that I really, really admire. And, I used to listen to his advice all the time. I've since not quite as often, just because, as he likes to say, like, go execute on my advice, stop listening to me. So I try to take his advice and actually go do it. But he was a great, great resource, his podcast and his books, when I first started my business. And I think he's pretty awesome.
I'm definitely a fan of Gary Vee. That's funny, actually, that you say that, because I haven't read his book yet. I did order it. But I used to listen to his podcast, like, every single day, like, on my lunch break, while on my commute home, while I'm doing the dishes. And he's actually so intense, and he's so full of knowledge. But yes, he was just, like, so intense, I had to, like, give it a break a little bit, because I was, like, beating myself up. I was like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing wrong? He's saying do all these things, and I'm like, all right, chill out.
Completely agree. I mean, I feel like the old me used to be almost as intense as him. Like, I know what you mean, though. He's, like, a lot, and I feel like I've sent his podcast to some of my friends, and they're like, whoa, that's too much for me.
Yeah, yeah. But he definitely is a wealth of information. I mean, he's incredible.
For sure. So, yeah, just, like, small doses of Gary Vee.
Totally. And so since we also talked about the crystals and the cards, and you mentioned your favorite book, where do you like to buy your crystals and your tarot cards?
So I've been, so for tarot, there apparently, you know, since starting to read about tarot, like, you're supposed to be gifted a deck, but that's kind of like old school rules, like tradition. You certainly can purchase your own. I just would say don't hop on Amazon and like find one randomly, like the first one you find. So I kept seeing that Wild Unknown deck in different places, in different stores. Someone I work with, Nina, she's kind of like my mentor right now for yoga teacher training. She's really a teacher I admire. She is, she uses it. So I just kept seeing it. And then I was in New York one day, and I was in this beautiful like shop that just happened to have it. And I said, screw it, I'm going to buy it. So I think when you are buying a deck in particular, to kind of go with one that you're drawn to and make it a little more special than just like ordering it online. As far as crystals, I used to always buy them from Energy Muse, and I still love them. They talk all about the process they go through of cleansing and charging the crystals before they send them to you. So that's really cool. But now I've started to, every time I travel somewhere, go to crystal shops. So when I'm in LA, I went. I also got some at the Good Festival. I picked them up. There's a crystal shop locally that I went to on my birthday, and my boyfriend said, get yourself a crystal. And then when I was in London, I found some crystal shops there. So I like to just like find the shops as I go about. And I plan to, when I go to new cities as well, continue the collection, because it's kind of fun to know where you pick them up and get those different energies from different cities.
I love that. And that's a really unique way to go about, you know, collecting your crystals.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, most cities like have some kind of spirituality, like it's a shop that sells a lot of things like that, sage and Palo Santo and stuff like that. So just, you know, Yelp it and you might be surprised what's in your city that you just never knew about. So yeah, I know Philly has some as well, but.
Very cool. So before we wrap up, I have one more question for you that I ask each and every guest.
Oh, okay.
And that is, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh, good one. Oh, I don't know. I guess I have to just go with like a classic ginger. Can't go wrong. Spicy.
So good. Do you have a favorite brand?
I actually have been obsessed. I used to be team health aid all the way. And I still love it. But Suja Juice is one of my favorite juices. And they came out with kombuchas and I love them. Their green one with moringa is so good. It's delicious. They aren't too sweet.
I'm so jealous. So since I'm pregnant, I haven't been having kombucha yet.
Aww.
But I have been drinking Suja's probiotic drinks, which are incredible.
They're delicious. So what's good. Your favorite kombucha when you are drinking them?
I really like the Health Aid Green Lady Apple. I'm very simple.
That's a great one too.
But I really, right now, I'm like obsessed with the Suja Watermelon Probiotic Drink. It's
very good. They're so good. Refreshing and light.
100%.
Yeah, they're great.
So where can everybody find you on social media?
Well, you can find me at kate.van.horn. And that's my Instagram handle. My blog is kalinit.com. I'm soon launching katevanhorn.com in hopefully just a couple weeks. That will be a little bit more yoga focused and ways to work together in that way. Tarot readings and such. And then you can, of course, find The Good Festival at thegoodfest.com or The Good Fest on Instagram.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.